Everyone, welcome to episode 25 of season 9 of Movie Our Minute, the Daily Podcast, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the final two Die Hard movies, Die Hard Duo, Die Hard 4.0, and Good Day to Die Hard, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me for the sort of penultimate episode of the first half of the season. You know, we're not taking a hiatus, but the first half of the season is Agent Palmer, my go-to guy for the second-to-last episode of every single season so far, except for one. So we're continuing the trend. Welcome back to the show, Palmer.
Thank you for having me. It's great in this like as far as appearances go to finally get a movie that I actually. Didn't like if I didn't watch it, I think I would have been fine.
Well, again, just wait. You got one more coming.
No, I know. Well, that one will be a first for me. But no, I just wanted to point this out that the last time I had cable, like regular old fashioned terrestrial cable, this movie was on a lot. Different channels, and I would catch 20 minutes here and there because it's a spoiler alert. I think this is a fun film, yes. Right? So I would just, if it was on and you're flipping through, you'll yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah.
And at that particular time, and I think there are waves for times of year, but also certain movies in time where it's like, well, this one just got a lot of play on a bunch of different channels, so it was like always on.
It makes sense.
That's not the reason I got rid of cable, but I'm just saying the last time I had it, this was on a lot.
Okay, that's fair. So in other words, you've watched bits and pieces of it, and now you got to actually watch 5 minutes of it, 3 minutes before the end.
This is true. Yeah. I don't know, so when I watch, obviously I'm at the end and I get to talk about the whole film. But we usually have a minute to focus on, and I have no idea how we're going to do 5 minutes. First of all, there are people on screen. That's new for us.
You've had it twice.
So I know. Well, older movies help, but yeah. Never has the pivotal moment happened in my.
Yes.
Minute.
That is
minutes.
True. That is
true. So there's a lot
episode.
Here.
You can say on your episode.
on my episode. There's a lot. There's a lot. I will say, I want to state this straight out. I like the film. I think it's fun, but I tend to think of this more as an action movie and less as a Die Hard movie.
I completely agree with you on that one. That's why and I don't include it within the trilogy. You know?
And to me, just for some reference for other people out there, I also think 1998's Godzilla is a good monster movie, but I separate it and it's not really a Godzilla movie. Okay. Right. And I think that it's kind of one of those things where I think Godzilla in 1998 may be the beginning of this where. It wasn't a Godzilla movie first. It was like a monster movie. And they're like, oh, if we tie this to a franchise, we might be able to get people to see it. And
yeah,
I think
like everyone's going to want to go see Matthew Broderick in a horror movie.
Yeah, well, but this is the same. This feels the same way. It's like I like the premise of this movie and the fire sale and the hacking stuff. And it's very, it's a different kind of hackers type movie.
Yeah.
But. It doesn't need to be a Die Hard movie.
No, not at all. And that's one of the things, I mean, I've talked about this with guests in the past on this season, you know, the fact that a lot of that Die Hard reached the point where they weren't writing Die Hard movies. They were like looking at scripts and they'd be like, hey, this one could be a Die Hard movie. You know, that type of thing. And that's the whole thing. And again, this, I think you said it perfectly. This is more of an action film than a Die Hard film, you know, you know, even when you look at the way that the Die Hard movies progressed, you started off in a building and then you went to an airport and then you went to a city and now you go to the East Coast. So it sort of loses some of its momentum because of that, by the way that the by the way that that's done. But again, it's still fun. It fits more. I think in 2007 when this came out, people weren't looking to see a Die Hard movie. They were looking to see action movies. I mean, again, it's the Fast and Furious type of movies. It's the way Mission Impossible evolved also. You have all of these I guess thrillers that started off a certain way, and through time they progressed into action movies because that's what people wanted to see.
Yeah, it has a there's a weird thing about, I don't know if it's specifically the way this movie is shot or just the beats of the movie, but like it feels a little Bondish. Not Daniel Craig Bondish, but this feels like
Roger
Pierce
Moore bondage?
Brosnan Bondish.
Ah, Pierce Brosnan. Okay.
Like in terms of like just the way the beats go.
Okay.
And I don't it's just like a hint of it. It's not like great, and I'm not saying that Bruce Willis should have been, James Bond, but it's just this movie feels like that in a way.
Okay.
It's odd.
I can see that. I can see that. I can see what you're talking about. But again, I agree with you. Bruce Willis is not the next or the past James Bond. He never would have worked as James Bond. Yeah, that goes without saying. So, all right. Do you remember if you saw this in the theater when it came out?
So I can't remember actually. So
Okay.
I don't, for a movie I like and that I've seen a lot, I don't remember my first viewing.
Okay.
It's just genuinely, it's just kind of like, and I think with movies that we tend to see in syndication, like bits and pieces here and there, you start further and further to lose that original viewing with every subsequent one, unless it that first one was super impactful. And for me, it was just like, oh, I like it. So maybe I saw it in a theater. I was still going to the theater in 2007, so it's possible.
Okay. That is fair. That is fair. All right. So why don't we dive into these 5 minutes,
Okay.
and show you how it's done. So episode 25 begins with Gabriel basically wanting to show his revenge. He wants his revenge, and ends
Yes.
with the credits for Dune Entertainment.
Yep.
So, as you mentioned, you're usually not present for the climax of a movie, but here you got it this time. We'll have to see what
Yeah.
happens in the second half of this season. When you're back for a good day to Die Hard, what's going to happen there? But at this point, basically, Gabriel's pretty much alone. It's him and Emerson. I believe they're the only ones left at this point. And he's captured John, and he's holding a gun to his head, and Emerson is holding on to Lucy, and nobody has to hold on to Farrell because he just he's in panic mode at this point, about the whole
Panic
thing.
mode, shock. I feel like he's probably going through a lot of things. I feel like the morphine probably brings him down to earth. Do you know what I mean? Like there's a part of me that
Okay.
with all of everything else that he's been through, I think he's just kind of coasting.
Okay. Well, we're not at the morphine yet, but
No, I know. I'm just saying
we'll get there. We'll get there.
he's having a time of it.
And so, Gabriel is still trying to take control of this, keep control of the situation. And because he wants Farrell to undo the damage that he did by putting in, quickly coding in a password that even Trey couldn't deal with before he was shot. And so this episode begins with Gabriel saying, "And I would love for you to see that." Basically,
Yes.
he had a hanging threat, between yesterday's episode and today. And then he screams, "God damn it, Matthew!" And Matt then goes, 10 seconds. Okay, 10 seconds. You'll have all your money. You just leave. Don't ask to get hurt." Okay. Just a few more seconds. Stay with me. And McLean begins to grunt a little bit. He said, "You just leave. No one needs to get hurt, okay?" And then Gabriel says, "A few seconds. Just stay with me." He's keeping trying to keep John. He thinks John's about dying, and he goes, "Stay with me." And
Yeah, you're not allowed to pass out. You need to be awake for this.
that's right. And Lucy sees what's going on, and she screams, "Dad!" Which it's a little overly emotional for the way that we've been dealing with Lucy in the past. And in order for Gabriel to try to wake John up, he takes the gun and starts pressing it against the wound that John has in his shoulders. I love how in movies everyone always gets shot in the shoulder. It's like the
Well,
perfect spot.
it's helpful for the close up
Yes.
because we can get some extra hair and makeup in.
That's right. That's true. That's very true.
Otherwise, I wouldn't know. Did he
Well,
get shot before?
we saw where he got shot. We did see that he got shot in the shoulder.
Yeah.
And then Gabriel goes, "On your tombstone, it should read, 'Always in the wrong place at the wrong time.'"
I like that, by the way, because that means that he spent Gabriel took the time to read up not only on John's exploits, but on all three previous films
Well, again,
within the file.
that's right. We did talk about the fact that the file that they showed us had a number of inconsistencies. One of them being that it says that he got a commendation for saving from the airport in Chicago, as opposed to in D.C., which is where
Yep.
Dyer 2 took place. But okay, a slight problem. But nobody expected us to be sitting and scrutinizing the movie the way that we are. So,
That's true. I'm just saying, I think that even with the that this is probably the most consistent as far as the most realistic statement that could have been made about John
oh, for
McClane.
sure, for sure. But then it begs the question, how does he know that? It's
Well,
not like he's
this
seen
there's a
video
lot of
clips.
time.
It's not like he's seen video clips of Major Grant saying it to John.
No,
Maybe
that's
couldn't
true,
have even
but
seen the trailer. It's like,
that there is a lot of downtime, of travel time, where we don't see Gabriel, where he's just in a helicopter, in a truck.
Phoning up on John McClane information.
Yeah, he's just making sure he knows his adversary. He's always got a file up. I assume he's got like a well, this 2007, so a Palm Pilot with all of the
Yeah,
information on it somewhere.
that's true. I mean, I've pointed this out also, and you'll be able to appreciate this. It's so interesting looking at a movie about technology in 2007 from today, because majority of people, and again, I'm even excluding the two of us, because we've been a little bit more into technology over the years anyway. But most people, when this movie came out, most people had no idea what they're talking about. Nowadays, when you watch this and you hear a lot of the things that they're saying, again, a lot of it's techno gibberish. It doesn't matter. But the basic ideas of downloading and transferring files and all that stuff, most people know what they're talking about now. But 18 years ago, people didn't.
2007. I just remember someone in an office I worked in when this movie was in syndication came in because I was the tech guy. They were like, "So, like, do you have one of those foldy keyboards?" Like that was the question. I was like, "Yeah, I have one." I'm like, "Really?" Like, yeah, because I used to run event stuff, so I always needed. But I was just like, "All right, well, it's not used for hacking. I don't think that's
Well, when you're hacking
a
on the move, you need that.
well, it's, yeah, you need a full keyboard's more helpful. Although, to his credit." Farrell's really good with a flip phone
Yes.
for typing stuff,
That's true.
which is that must be a young man's game. Even when
It
I was younger, I couldn't
helps to be
type
a
like
fictional character when it comes to
that.
these things.
So anyway, yes, I like the little, I think I like to think that Gabriel's last words were like generally for the franchise. That's like a nod for like, well, you've watched this far. This is your fourth movie. And John's always in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Makes sense.
But he's not really quite ready to. Now it's Gabriel's time to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
He's apparently in the right place. That's where we just want him. And then John grabs the gun and goes, "How about yippee-ki-yay, mother?" And pulls the trigger and shoots himself.
Yes.
You know. And then obviously the bullet goes through him and Gabriel goes flying. Now, wouldn't that mean that Gabriel is pretty much also just shot in the shoulder? Maybe a little bit. It doesn't look like he's hitting him in the heart.
So I need, okay, in full disclosure, I needed the 5 minutes you sent to me. Because upon first viewing, for the first time in a while, I went, wait a minute, why is he dead? It shot him in the shoulder.
Okay.
And then, so that was the first. Then when I watched it again, without the context of everything that happened before it, they linger over his body enough that there's a bullet hole through his heart.
Yes.
But you don't see enough of the struggle for how the geometry of that work. I guess maybe. I mean, I don't know. I've had my arm around people before, but I don't think that my heart lines up with their shoulder. It's very odd. But I didn't notice until just the 5 minutes that they linger.
Yeah.
And there's a bullet hole in his heart. But like, that's just very lucky or unlucky shooting, depending on who you are.
John just knows his angles. He's a geometry major.
Apparently he's very good at it.
Yes. Yes. And so then Gabriel goes flying from the impact and lands on the car and smashes the windshield. That's going to be a pain to fix. And then Emerson, who is still in pain from being shot in the foot, you know, decides to call to action. And then we see he gets shot. And then we see that it's Farrell who actually is shooting him, which funny the way that Justin Long is holding that gun.
It would have been what, 3 years? He's like 3 years removed from accepted, okay. Which is kind of like what I think of as like for that era, quintessential Justin Long. So just to see him holding a gun, period, is kind of I agree. It's hilarious, mainly because his half-hearted attempt earlier in the film to kind of not grab the loose gun during the struggle.
Yes.
Is more of how I see it. Like, oh, maybe I could get it, but I don't want to.
Right.
But I love the fact that Justin looked I don't know if Justin was told to do this, but the way Farrell looks shocked, he hit him.
That's right.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I can't believe I hit him.
That's right. And Emerson goes down. Emerson is probably more shocked than everybody. Yeah. That Farrell actually was able to do it. And then Lucy runs over to John and starts hugging him and she goes, "Daddy, Daddy, are you okay?" And he goes, "Yeah, baby, I'm fine." And then she says, "I knew you would come for me." And he says, "Of course I'd come for you. Sorry it took me so long. It's okay." Now, one of the things that really, does this mean that you know, at the dinner table they used to talk about, you know, all of, you know, John McClane's exploits, that if you're ever in trouble, you know, this must have been back when Holly and John were still together. You know, if you're ever in trouble, just wait and John is going to show up. You know, you can be at a work party, you can be on a plane, you can be in the city. You know, anything, something happening, John McClane will be there to save you. So it's just a
Yeah,
very
I'm.
funny line, the way that she says it, that I knew you'd come for me.
Yeah, it's very like I think it's probably too cliche for its own good. Especially given that Lucy is not, she's atypical of like Hollywood damsels in distress, right? Like, you know, she realizes she's in bad, and then she doesn't go along with it ever. She's always a struggle the whole time. You know, she shoots a guy, she hits a guy, she punches a guy, like all these things. And then at the end,
No, but
well, I knew
he
you'd come
did
for
say
me.
also, you know, she when they were talking on the CB, and she said there's only five of them left, you know, that so she, you know, growing up in the McLean household, even if you don't use the name McLean, you still get some of it,
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And I love how, you know, the two of them are you know, are hugging and whatever, and we just see Gabriel's body lying on the back on the
Yeah.
hood. You know, then yeah.
Now, they don't really establish this because we are immediately gone to the helicopters, right?
Yes.
We immediately. So I'm assuming that wherever we pick up the helicopters, McLean can hear them, and that's why he's just sitting there like, oh, I'm just gonna wait for the cavalry because he can hear them.
Could be. Now, my question is how
Because
do
you
the
don't.
helicopters know where they are?
Well, they lowjacked the
The
vehicle.
hazmat. Ah, okay. That
Yeah.
they logic the hazmat truck. You're right. You're right.
But I
That makes
and
sense.
the only reason I bring up the helicopter thing, because we don't hear it in the scene right before the helicopters, is I live near a helipad. You can hear those things. I'm not talking military. This is just I live near a hospital helipad. I can hear it coming from like 10 miles away. Like you don't even have to be like radar from MASH. Like you can just hear it coming. So just there's a weird thing where it's like I wouldn't have known this when I first saw the movie, but just like he would have probably heard them coming, I think,
Okay.
given
I think you would
the
be right.
distance.
I think you would be right.
But then and by the way, not for nothing, but this is where I get my Brosnan at the end of GoldenEye, when the Marines are all just there after everything's already taken care of, that's kind of what this is. The FBI comes in after everything else has been taken care of.
Hey, and if it works, why not? You know, because when you have John McClane on the case, you don't need anyone else.
That's
You
true.
know,
That's
that's
true.
what it
That's
comes down
true.
to. Yeah, and then so we see the helicopters show up. We see the guys rappelling down. We see the FBI team you know, run into the building. We hear a guy go, "Move, move, freeze, hold, hold," and then Bowman gets there and sees that it's John and Farrell, and he goes, "Hold. Hold, he's okay. Move around, come around here." And then Lucy says, "Help Daddy up."
Yeah, this is where we get my favorite. He's like, "Daddy, you shot yourself."
Yeah.
And don't tell these guys.
She goes, "Daddy, you're out of your mind. What are you talking about? You shot yourself. Seemed like a good idea at the time. Don't tell these guys that I did that."
Yeah, do you think he knows he's got a bit of a like a legend about him? You know, guys
probably.
telling stories about, you know,
About John
the tower, the
McClane.
airport. Yeah.
Could be. Could be. I would think so. But you know, I think this is like the most hurt that we see John McClane. You know, or at least he's just, I mean, because he's older. I don't know. It's been 19 years since Nakatomi, so who knows?
Well, it's also like the, I think he's supposed to show a little bit of hurt because he shot himself. You know, we have to play into it. Otherwise, it's like, well, why wouldn't you shoot yourself just to get the guy behind you all the time? You can just recover. He's not Wolverine. He can't just
Right, that's true.
insta recover.
That's a good point.
But it is it is nice that we actually get an actual, like, some medicine. Because if I remember correctly, it's the end of every other movie where there's medical people, it's just him in a blanket. Like, they don't, there's never, like,
Because all those
the
times it was
fact
at
that it,
night, and here it's during the day. I don't know. Now, in Die Hard with a Vengeance, it was both day and night because, after the boat exploded, that was during the day. But then when they were up in Montreal, that was, or by the border,
at
that
night,
was at night.
yeah.
And I love that they have to have in these Die Hard movies this final scene that takes place like outside of some staging area. Where you have helicopters and ambulances and it's like this is a typical diehard cleanup shot type of thing. This is what you're gonna get.
And then we get the part that is I'll say it because we haven't gotten there yet. So if the movie faded to black right here, I don't think anybody would complain.
No, I don't think so either.
I'm just saying it right now.
That's right.
No one's complaining. We can end the movie.
But
It's done.
they need
It's
to have
over.
those extra few minutes there. What can I tell you? Well, no, they wanted to tease us with Lucy and Matt. Who knows?
Why?
I have no idea.
Again, why?
Because so that they would have something a premise for Die Hard 5. I don't know. Trust me, they in 2007 they did not know that 6 years later they were going to be sending John to Russia. Okay, they were trying to think of how we're going to play with this.
That's okay.
Right, and then
That's fair.
Bowman shows up, and while John is sitting there by the in the ambulance, and he goes, "Thank you for your help, John." He goes, "Thank you." Then Lucy
I guess,
looks over at
you know,
John. Yeah.
I guess a thank you's better than a commendation. I don't know. You
He'll
know,
get one. He'll get one.
he's out of jurisdiction, so who the heck knows? Maybe in the red tape he's gonna get nothing.
No way of knowing.
Yeah.
But at this point, Bowman just says thank you and then walks away. And then Lucy is concerned about Matt, and she goes, "Is he okay?" John just looks at her and looks at Matt, and we see Matt's being taken care of by a doctor or a medic or something, and he goes, "Should I put my hands up?" And he goes, "No, you don't. Just put your hands down." Should I put him down further? Yeah. And then John looks at her and goes, "Well, he might die of shock on the way to the hospital." Thinking he's just
Yeah.
a little bit, a little out of it.
Little, yeah. Powerful drugs.
That's right. And
Powerful
she
drugs.
gives him a look, and then John just realizes, okay, I gotta go see what's going on. He gets up and he starts walking over to him. And then when he says to her, "I'll be right back," and then he calls out to Matt, and he goes, "Hey." He goes, "Oh, hey." He goes, "How's it feel to be shot?" He goes, "It actually feels great. He gave me something, what's it called, more?" And then the medic goes, "Morphine." He goes, "Morphine." He goes,
It's very odd that he would not know what morphine is. I'm not, he's just in video games it exists as a like a thing you can pick up.
Even
Like even
in
as
video
far
games,
back as
you think of video games in 2007 that had that?
No, I think in video games in 2003 we had that.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you could pick up morphine in like Duke Nukem and stuff
You
like
could pick up morphine, or you could pick up a medical. I remember that you were able to pick up like a medical bag. It didn't
I know you
specifically.
can pick up med pack. I'm pretty sure morphine was a thing at some point in one of those games. I mean, maybe, you know, he's not into classic gaming and he missed it, but
I don't know.
I don't know.
I used to love Duke Nukem. I was a big fan of Duke Nukem at the time. Then John says to him, "Wow, you got your merit badge now." He goes, "Yeah, I don't know what that means." And then John goes, "Plus, chicks dig scars." "Really? And then he looks over towards Lucy and he goes, "Not that one."
So I want to ask this question, right? I understand what he's saying with the merit badge, but is that a Is that a last Boy Scout reference? Like, are we going back that far? Is somebody in the writing crew like, all right, we can make this reference? Because I don't remember enough of the last Boy Scout
In the last Boy Scout,
to
he doesn't
know.
use the term merit badge, but they do reference that. It is referenced.
Okay. Okay.
So is this a callback to that? I don't know. I can't tell you for sure. It's possible. The last Boy Scout
I
was a diehard movie.
Yeah, it's another variation of Die Hard 3.
Yes.
It's the buddy cop Die Hard. Yes.
Correct. And then Farrell looks over and starts googly eyeing Lucy, and John goes, "Not that one." He goes, "What? Don't even think about it. How'd you know what I was thinking?" And then he goes, "Why?
It's
Did she say
amazing
something
he
to you?
doesn't say
I felt like
it's
we had
amazing
a
he doesn't say
kind of
I know what
vibe."
you're thinking.
He goes,
Yeah.
"Take it easy. That's just the morphine kicking in." He goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Besides, after all we've been through, I'd hate to have to beat you to death."
I know we could have ended it a few minutes ago. That's a good
It's a good
line.
line. It's a good line, especially with McClane's laugh. He has a nice chuckle there when he says it,
Yep.
because Farrell is 100% sure that John is joking or not. That's
Oh, yeah,
part of the
no.
problem.
Yeah, there's a subtext slash dry comedy that Ferrell does not get at all with McClane's delivery throughout the entire film.
That's 100%
It's
true.
great.
And then Farrell goes, "Yeah, that would suck."
And it so then he closes one door as if there aren't other paramedics around. This is John's job.
Course, it's John's job. He wants to get him out of there before he looks over at his daughter. "Stop looking at my daughter," that type of thing. And John goes, "Yeah, take care of yourself. I'll see you at the hospital." And then Harold continues and says, "Hey," John says to him, "Thanks for saving my daughter's life." He goes, "Hey, what was I gonna do? That's what makes you that guy."
Yep.
Yeah.
I that's all again, it's good writing, it's a little cliche, but I enjoy going back to some of those conversations because look, I'm sure you talked about it before, but whether it's wrong place, wrong time, or just no one else is gonna do it, that conversation in that car is very important to the entire franchise.
Yeah.
Like, as far as like, well, somebody's gotta do it.
That's right.
But this is that's what makes you that guy. McClane saying that to Farrell. This is the
This is
this is
the passing of the baton.
it's it no, I see, I look at it more as like the way they did it in what Crystal Skull, where the
I was just
he
thinking that.
yeah, because Shia picks up the hat and then Indy takes it away from him again. It's like no, kid,
That
this is still mine.
was a smart move. Yeah. And then John comes back to Lucy, and Lucy goes, "Did he say anything about me?" He goes, "Jesus, Lucy. I'm sorry. I'm just asking because I'm in enough pain already."
already, yeah.
Yeah, no,
Oh,
whatever.
and
It's a
then
little bit of a tease. That's all they do there. And then John gets into the ambulance, and they finally found the guy who's on his coffee break, who's supposed to close the doors to the ambulance. And then the ambulance just takes off, and the music begins. We get to start hearing "Fortunate Son" once again.
Yep.
Which fits in really well here. I like the song, and I like the way that it fits into the movie. And then the camera starts to move up and give us some more of a wide shot of the of where they are, which we can tell that they're somewhere near the docks in Baltimore.
I
And
will say, it is weird that to pull the curtain back. You and I are recording on Memorial Day,
yes.
And going into my watch, I would have sworn to you that this took place over Memorial Day. I had no idea this was July 4th. I just completely did not think about it in terms of July 4th. I thought this was a Memorial Day thing. I really did.
Well, Memorial Day was a week ago, so you know we're not that far away.
Yeah. No.
We've passed it.
Yes.
And then the credits begin. And the truth is, we don't really have anything to talk about in these in this less than a minute of credits that we have here, because
I will say it will give me an opportunity to talk about Star Trek for a moment, because I'm watching through all the Star Treks and I'm still currently watching Voyager.
Okay.
And since Tim Ross is in this section of credits,
yes,
which, I get to again, say
he wasn't when really he showed the movie, but whatever.
His two scenes, one line. But when he shows up, I went, Tuvok.
That's right.
Because obviously when I watched this, it was before I got into Trek, so I wouldn't have no idea who he was. He's just some guy.
You know how many times I've seen this movie, and only when I started doing research now did I realize who it was? Because there was no reason for me to, he's barely in the movie. You know, and I just never paid attention to who he is.
Yeah, no, and it's funny because, like, in like typical buddy cop / action movie fashion, there's always two cops that show up, and there's only one, and there's always one that's the silent type.
That's right.
Like, if you and I show up as the buddy in those movies, one of us is going to say something, and the other's just going to nod. That's our function.
Well, the way that you know, as well as I know you and you know me, I don't think that's gonna happen. But whatever. But that's fine. I don't think people want either of us at a crime scene.
No.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically, we go through the credits here of the entire cast. We've talked about anyone who is of interest along the way.
Yep.
And once the cast ends, then we actually get a list of all the stuntmen. Okay, did you count how many stuntmen there are?
I did not. I in my head I was going like, all right, so aside from McLean falling and the shooting, like what were the, I guess the helicopter scene's a big stunt thing.
Okay, just give a guess as to how many stuntmen.
I'm guessing there are 25 stuntmen.
There are 116 stuntmen listed here. Okay.
All right, well,
there are nine stunt riggers, which are the guys, you know, who set up the stunts, basically.
Yeah, that's... They couldn't have reused a couple of those guys for similar stunts?
I don't know. I guess they needed to use people for all the... I'm trying to think if there's like a big scene where they need all these stunt people. I don't know. Everyone leaving the Capitol in an orderly fashion? I don't know.
Can I sign up for those stunts? I could even do those. Like, yeah, there aren't a lot of like there are a lot more like individual like hand to hand type things.
Yeah, but where not 116 people. That's what doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know if I own this. Like, is there like a deleted scene where something goes down?
Not that I'm aware of.
Maybe.
Not that I'm aware of, but again, right. 116 is a hell of a lot for a movie where you can't remember a huge scene. Maybe you needed all the stunt people for when there was gridlock. I don't know. Yeah.
I guess technically, yeah. I mean, you'd probably need quite a few people for the accidents within the gridlock.
Maybe in the scene in the tunnel, you needed all these stunt drivers.
That's true.
I don't know
if they did it practically and turned off the lights.
That's right. I don't know if you need 116, but still, okay. All right, let's
Well,
do this.
that'll get half.
That's
That'll
fair.
give us half.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And after we get the stunt riggers, the last thing we see on the screen is made in association with Dune Entertainment LLC. And people will have to come back tomorrow to hear what's going to be in the rest of the credits.
That is correct. Well, and it's a dangling and.
Yes.
It's not just made in association. Then there's a lot of space.
And then
and it says and.
Yes. We end on the and. Correct. All right. So is there anything else you wanted to say about this movie before we get into today's segments?
No, I just want to say I enjoyed it. It was still, it's still fun. It's still fun. I think that's important because when you talk about, go back to talking about the technology of 2007, and it is slightly dated a little bit, but it's slightly dated enough in a good way, where like McClane can still talk about like the Warlock CB radio being a little low tech, right? Like,
yeah.
I think even now, maybe some of that older technology still kind of roaming around a bit, but this is a very good slice. Whereas, you know, let's be real.
Right.
If this thing is made in 2020 or beyond, Farrell does everything with his phone. Like, it's just... Not, you know, or any phone, right?
They,
it's just,
they,
yeah.
they knew that in the future people would be able to use their phones for so many different things. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. So we're going to hold off on the two top five segments for your next appearance at the end, in the true penultimate episode. But
yes,
we still are going to play two games today.
Okay. Well, the last time we did games, I did not do very well. So I'm lowering my expectations. I'm just looking for 50%. That's okay. That's what we're going with.
Okay. Well, the first game is called State Your Motto.
Okay.
So obviously the name of this movie is Live Free or Die Hard, right? Which
yes.
Live Free or Die is the state motto of New Hampshire. Okay. Again,
yes.
Absolutely no connection to this movie. Which is quite annoying. You know, they could have had it happen in New Hampshire. I don't know. You know, maybe.
Are you kidding?
Maybe had
their
maybe,
trip.
Maybe they have President Bartlett. You know that they have to go back there.
His trip from Cambridge to D.C.
No,
to Woodlawn.
Cambridge from Camden.
Camden. His trip is officially longer than the state of New Hampshire.
Yes, that is
true. He would have driven through it.
Yeah, probably. That's true. Okay, so the idea here is it's a simple game. I will give you the name of a state, and then I will give you three choices of what the true motto is of that state. Now, these are all real state mottos. You know,
okay.
So it's just not necessarily of that particular state. So I'm sure you simply can figure out what state I'm going to be giving you first.
Oh God.
Any guess?
Okay. Is it Pennsylvania?
Of course it's Pennsylvania. Okay.
Okay.
So you're
my fourth grade teacher would be very upset.
All right. So here are your three options. Now again, these are real state mottos. Only one of them
okay.
is Pennsylvania. Okay. And you have to tell
okay.
me which one is Pennsylvania. So the all first right. choice A is liberty and independence.
Yep.
Choice B is with God, all things are possible.
Okay.
And choice C is virtue, liberty, and independence.
Oh, well, I know it's not B. But it, oh man, A and C, like, I mean, over the course of this season, you've probably done a lot of these. So are a lot of them like A and C were like, they're very similar.
Yes.
Oh man.
Yes.
I'm gonna go with A because that's what I thought it was originally.
No, it's C. It's virtue, liberty, and
it's
independence.
C.
Sorry.
Okay.
Nice try, nice try.
Yeah, well.
Okay, now we're going to do the second game,
Okay.
which is called 6 Degrees of Bruce Willis.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to give you the name of an actor, and you have to, I'm assuming you're familiar with the idea of 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
I am.
Okay,
yes.
So you have to try and get between this actor to Bruce Willis, or vice versa, in the fewest amount of steps as possible. Right?
Okay.
Okay, so your first one, and there's five of them. Okay, your first one is Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves to Bruce Willis.
Yes.
I feel like well, I think I would go Bruce Willis. I thought I had a short one and now I completely forgot. How do I? Oh, Bruce Willis and Kevin Smith are both in this movie.
How does that connect with Keanu
Right?
Reeves?
Kevin Smith directed Dogma, which had George Carlin in it. And George Carlin was in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure with Keanu Reeves.
Okay, that is great. That is very good. You could have done that a little shorter, though, because Keanu Reeves was in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey with William Sadler.
Okay.
Who was the bad guy in Die Hard 2. So, yes, that's very good. Very, very clever. Good job. All right, the next one for you is Sean Connery.
What in the world? I feel like I'm going to be missing something, but I feel like there's going to be an easy one.
There is an easy one, yes.
I keep thinking of Moonlighting.
Sean Connery is not connected to Moonlighting.
No.
No, I
no, but
understood.
Nick Cage
I understood.
Is.
I understood. But no, it's not TV shows. It's movies. Movies.
Movies. Movies. Yeah, but the Moonlighting I was thinking of was Nick Cage and Cher.
That's Moonstruck.
Oh, that's Moonstruck. Yeah. Oh crap.
You can do that too. But again, it's Nick Cage, not Sean Connery.
Yeah. Yeah, but The Rock gets me both, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I was working backwards from that. Yeah.
I know what you're doing.
I mean, Connery's, that's the one. Yeah. Where he, that's not the Costner one, is it? Or is it? Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. So the bad guy is Hans Gruber, right? That, okay.
Alan
All
Rickman.
Right. So that's the connection then. Okay.
Okay. Another one that
Alan
I found
Rickman's
was
connection.
Sean
right.
Connery was in The Untouchables with Andy Garcia, who was in Ocean's 12 with Bruce Willis. He played himself.
Bruce Willis was in Ocean's 12?
You know, again, I like the other one better. Okay. The next one for you, Michael Caine.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Bruce Willis to Michael Caine.
And I did not use a Palmer reference, so don't go there.
No, I don't think there is one. Bruce Willis to okay. I'm gonna use Kevin Smith again. So Bruce Willis to Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith to Luke Skywalker.
Okay, to Mark Hamill. Okay.
And Luke and Mark Hamill to the Muppets.
Yep.
No, you said no TV shows. Is there anybody else in the Muppets? Well, I guess Hamill to, yeah. I mean, Hamill would work to Frank Oz, and Frank Oz in the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Okay.
To Michael Caine.
Yes, for sure. There's
Is
Michael
there a
Caine was
way?
In The Dark Knight with Gary Oldman, and Gary Oldman was in The Fifth Element with Bruce Willis.
Was in Fifth Element, yeah. Having not watched The Dark Knight trilogy.
I understand. Okay. Okay.
I think I saw the first one.
Well, the first one that works also.
All right.
Both Michael Caine and Gary Oldman were in all three.
Fair. Okay.
And then the final one for you, Sean Astin.
Oh, okay. So that would be just, that's Fellowship. Oh, well, I guess technically Liv Tyler was his daughter in Armageddon.
There you go.
I don't come on here to sound smart. Are you crazy?
Okay. All right. So, once again, would you like to tell everyone where they can find the Agent Palmer?
Yes, you could find me on the internet at agentpalmer.com, or you can listen to me talk to people like Rob and many others at the Palmer Files. .com, where probably where you're listening to this, that's fine too. I'm on many different social networks. Say hi.
And you'll be back in less than a month for another episode.
Yes, and spoiler alert for that particular episode, which I have not seen that movie. When I watch it to come back will be the
Well,
first
everyone knows
time.
that it's Die Hard 5, so it's okay.
No, I know. I'm just saying for me,
That's not a secret.
I have never seen Die Hard 5. So the spoiler alert is this will be my first viewing when I sit down to watch it. So.
Enjoy, enjoy, or let's put it this way: instead of saying enjoy, I'm going to say have fun. That's what it
Okay.
comes down to.
All right.
And
Well,
try
that's.
to make the best of it.
Oh, boy. That's gonna be that's fun. I
No, but
feel like,
it all depends on your attitude. That's what it
well,
comes down to.
I can I can go in just looking to have a good time. That seems,
Exactly. That
yeah.
is the point. All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, movieaboutminute.com. And if you feel like sending me an email, you can send it to movieaboutminute@movierob.net. So I will be back tomorrow for the final episode of this half of the season, where we will finish off Live Free or Die Hard. But until then, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Oh, they're red, white, and blue, yeah. But it ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no fortunate one, no.